Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rebecca, who is here to speak with us about a very timely topic on this first Tuesday in November. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So I'm going to let you frame it. How would you say what we're looking at this afternoon?
Well, I would say what we are looking at is a wonderful opportunity that practice is offering to transcend fear, resistance, and limitations in a whole new area of life, which is politics. So the group coaching opportunity is politics from center.
Politics from center. And what better day to speak about that than today, huh?
Yes, it is.
At least for us in the United States, I should say.
Yeah, it's really in the air around here.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
So tell us what you and other folks in the courses, because this isn't there are more coming up, but it's not the first one. There are a number of people who have gone through the experience and I think had really pretty amazing experiences with it and insight. So what are
yeah.
folks seeing?
Yeah, so the way that it works is it's an opportunity to choose some kind of a political activity or, you know, participation in some way, and it really is whatever, you know, write a letter to your representative or join a rally or, you know, research a cause that you care about but the voices have been telling you don't have time to really look into it or, I mean, anything. And
mm-hmm.
what we're doing is using the content of political activity or civic engagement, however you want to call it, as
mm-hmm.
a way to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop it and end suffering. It's just one more way that we participate, you know, we live out the one rule, you know, that we'll use everything in our experience. And
yeah.
So what we've done in the past is we've offered this maybe two or three times, and we're going to offer it again starting the Thursday after Thanksgiving, so a week after Thanksgiving, those 4 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas on Thursday afternoons, 4 o'clock Pacific. And we're just inviting people to, you know, to join in and see how does ego stop us from this, you know, what some might even say is a duty, but it's not that
mm-hmm.
it should be
mm-hmm.
a should, but it's such a rich place of participation.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, there's so much in that. And I just have such a funny image shopping that I'm partly kidding, but kind of not, that, you know, so that because of that time period that it's being offered, that time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is such a big time. In so
mm-hmm.
many ways for so many people. And kind of the ultimate, how would you describe it, sort of political organization in our lives being family. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that place, because it's the same process, right, getting involved in that way, in our very own, you know, that's the kind of the smallest microcosm of the larger
so
macrocosm.
So that is a,
like
you just,
big, yeah,
oh, good.
Ahead.
Well, I was just
going
to say, just yesterday, I was telling this to someone. I'm visiting family right now. I was telling a friend of mine about this, and she said, "Would it help for like talking to people who are on the different side of the aisle than we I am?" I was like, "Absolutely."
Exactly.
There's nothing that we can't bring conscious, compassionate awareness to.
Truly.
Yeah.
It really is that. I mean, it truly is that same process. What is it to be, I mean, I think, and you can speak more to this because I imagine a lot of folks have been looking at this, but in these coaching opportunities, but what is it to be involved in something that you care so much about? And there's this sort of head scratching of, wow, how can someone have such a different view on this than I do?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I stay with that, all of that, with an open heart and not go to, on some level, something's wrong, which is exactly the same thing we're doing with our families. So it really is all the process. Yeah.
Yeah, it is so true. Because what we, you know, not to give anything away, because, you know, we all have to see it for ourselves, but what we always come down to, and, you know, and I think in everybody's experience, certainly in my own, is that it always, the genesis of the suffering is always a conversation in the head. Yep. And to really see how that happens. And yep. And to me, you know, let me finish that sentence. To see how that happens is so incredibly liberating and relieving, actually, because we see it really doesn't have to stop us. You know, those thoughts and those perceived divisions and those, you know, incredulous, what are you thinking, that, you know, they're screaming in our heads. You know, they don't really have to mean what we think they mean. And so to see that for ourselves in a supported environment with other people looking as well, it is, to me, it is just the most fun, liberating. Because, you know, I, in my experience, politics, I mean, in this, and people look at me crazy when I say things like I'm crazy when I say things like this, but being involved in politics has, I have had more fun in my adult life doing that than, you know, it's so much, it's so fun. And, and I have seen so much in how, to me, I was looking at this, you know, in kind of in preparation for this conversation, I was looking at what is it about this that I'm so drawn to, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, the public drama in a way of politics, is the perfect way to see ego at work, you know, and not and to see that we don't have to take it seriously. And, you know, so once we kind of get that, then we can just play with it, you know, and not, and it becomes this huge playground where life can act, and we can watch what ego does just exactly on a macrocosm, what we watch in ourselves on a, you know, kind of on a microcosm. And it, that's, I think, is what's so fun about it, because when you get a little distance and see it for what it is, there's a lot of room for participation and goodness and fun and community and esprit de corps and all of those things, you know?
Yeah, when you really are facilitated to take that step back and not take it personally and not quite so gravely. And, you know, that as you were talking, I was seeing how, you know, so, you know, we are life in form, right? We are human beings in form. And so politics is where really the decisions about the content of our lives is made, you know.
Exactly.
How human beings are treated, what choices they're allowed to make about their own bodies, where they go to school, what that's going to look like, you know. I mean, all kinds of things. So given that, you know, that place of, you know, not taking it personally, and we are here, you know, on this plane of existence, how can we fully participate in it with deep, great care without having to suffer?
So there's this little quick story that comes, I'll make it quick because I see we're kind of almost out of time, but that keeps coming to mind as you're talking, because politics really is sort of, the word means like the work of the people, you know, and so if the people aren't out there doing the work, I mean, some people are. Somebody's going to do it, you know? And so I remember I was years ago, I was a part of this coalition, and we were working on, you know, the whole tax, there was a whole new tax structure that was being considered and deliberated in Texas, where I lived at the time. And so we kind of got around, and we were educating ourselves about it, and we wanted to go and speak on what our values were, which was to not put the burden of the tax burden on working families. That was sort of our angle. And so they were going to hold like 8 or 9 hearings, or, you know, and we were going to take turns. No one person needed to be at all of them, but we sort of took turns and would show up. And we were invariably the only non-lobbyist type people there. And so we would talk about, our perspective, and we were trying to educate ourselves and others on, you know, what a progressive and what a regressive tax was, and how it, you know, some taxes hurt, you know, poorer people more than, you know, like that kind of thing. And so anyway, by the end of the hearings, you know, all of them were done, we heard from one of our, you know, friends and allies that was on the committee. And there was all these kind of big, rich muckety mucks that were, you know, on the committee that were going to be making these decisions. And one of them said, you know, I never really thought about what those people keep saying, but I think I get what they've been pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a gratifying moment of, mm-hmm. first of all, we had to transcend what kept us from, you know, I'm too busy, sure. and look, it's all stacked against us anyway, and,
yeah.
you know, nobody's going to listen. Mm-hmm. Who are we to, yeah. And mm-hmm. and to just get out there and do it. And we had mm-hmm. so much fun. And, you know, so it's like something as, you know, sort of like, what? You got excited and had fun around tax reform? You know, that's no fun. But
participation.
It was participation. Yeah. That made it so fun. And, you know, kind of maybe made a difference. Who knows? You know, but it was, I don't even remember that. I remember how, yeah, I know what I remember.
The difference it made for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Well, as you say, Rebecca, we are against the clock. So thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. So if folks want to sign up for that, what do they do?
Yeah, they go to the Living Compassion website and go to the programs. And the deadline, I think, is like in a few weeks, the 19th of November. And they can just sign up.
Excellent.
Thursdays from 4 to 5 Pacific.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us on this voting day. Very
Thank
great
you.
Topic. All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. And, Michael, before we turn the show over to you and Rebecca, I do have a couple of exciting announcements about the BridgeWalk campaign, if I may.
Yes, please.
One is that I was on the site today because we were doing some things, and I saw that we are one-fifth of the way to our goal.
Oh, nice.
Which I thought was very exciting. I think we're probably about one-third of the way through the time. So you could say, okay, well, that's not matching up. But it so is matching up because we know how we humans are. So
yes.
I'm thrilled that we have gotten, I think we've raised almost, we're just literally a few dollars short of $20,000 raised.
Great.
So that is really, really fun. And a very generous volunteer has put together a 10-minute video of how to create your fundraising page on the site. And if you go to the Africa website and click on the Get Involved link and then click on the Follow Their Lead link, which is that's Command Central for BridgeWalk this year. And then under the logistics part, the last point there, I'm trying to think of another word besides bullet, dot, there is watch a video on how to set up your fundraising page. And
great.
That, as I say, literally walks you through point by point on how to do it. It's a really great, clear video. And that link is also going to go out with an email, I believe, that's coming out Thursday with another beautiful reminder for us in terms of participation.
Great. And, Jen, I also used the one that was sent out by email earlier with the screenshots about how to put together my page, and that was great. That was
super helpful.
Isn't
that good? Yeah, I just think it's incredible. We're getting all the learning modalities here. You know, if you're a visual person, then you can do this. And actually, the link to that one, Michael, I was going to put it up under the logistics. I'm not seeing it there right now, but I know he was headed to doing that. So that one that you're referring to with the screenshots is also going to be there as well.
Great. So, great. Yep. That's wonderful.
All right. Turning over
to
you and Jerry. Have a great show.
Wonderful.
Thanks,
thank
Michael.
You, and thank you, Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. It's great to hear your voice.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Great to hear yours, too.
Back among the living?
Yes, getting there slowly and grateful for all of it.
Yeah. It takes a while to come back, doesn't it? Get all that strength back. We don't realize how much we lose, how much strength we lose when we get sick like that until we start trying to get back into regular life, and then it's like, whoa, okay, it's going to take a bit, which is good. That's being kind to the human, kind to the body.
Yes, and part of that kindness with all of that time was listening to a lot of open-air archives and reading a lot of the email class, which was really wonderful.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, I was just talking with somebody about that today, my obsession with what has been labeled the Huber cure, which is at the first sign of sickness, you go to bed and you don't get up. I mean, okay, you might have to go to the bathroom and maybe you have to get something to drink or to eat, which is fine, and then you go to bed. And the other really important part is you keep your attention on positive things, on things that are happy and uplifting and make you feel good, because otherwise the negativity that exists in conditioned mind just goes into warp speed when we don't feel well, and that is really hard on the body. That negativity is always hard on us, always hard on the body, but when we're sick, it's particularly devastating to the poor body that is trying to recover.
Yes. Yes. That's my experience.
So I got to stick with practice. So I want to say before we go on that I really appreciated the timeliness of the conversation that Jen and Rebecca had, because this is a big day in the United States. And and however the election goes, the points that were made remain really important. It's up to us. It's up to us to have the country that we want to have. I was listening to a fellow talk yesterday who was making exactly that point, and he said, and Penny, who's here and often in group with us, was making the point too, that it's people working together at this, you know, community level and coming together and requiring people that we elect to do these things, to do the things we want them to do. If we just ignore them, they won't know what it is that we want them to do, and then they'll just do what they want to do. And so it really is up to us, and it's not like, okay, well, the election is over and, you know, my guy is in office, so everything is fine, or lost, and time to give up. But it really is just so important for us to keep in mind that in every area of life, on every level, we have to choose what it is that we want.
Yeah.
Politics, the same as everything else. We have to choose it.
Yeah. Yes. What dropped in as you were talking is, for me, the equivalent in awareness practice, which is, you know, now that I'm happy, now that I can go to sleep again, and not to be bamboozled in that same way.
Exactly. Oh, that's perfect. That is the perfect example of it, because that's how it works, right? Okay, well, now I can stop paying attention to that, because everything is, you know, whatever. And, and it's all going to go downhill in a hurry if we don't keep choosing what it is that we want for our lives, for our communities, for whatever, going out all the way to for our world.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I have announcements here.
All right.
You, Sherry, will be conducting a free workshop on recording and listening at Stanford University in the San Francisco Bay Area on Wednesday, November 7th, which is
That'd
tomorrow.
That'd be tomorrow.
That'd be tomorrow.
I got to get on down there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you will talk about using this great tool to focus attention to live authentically. And registration mm-hmm. information can be found on the Living Compassion Schedule webpage.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Politics from Center, as we just heard, a group coaching opportunity will offer support in mindfully engaging in a political activity in a way that challenges you to transcend fear and express deep caring in the world. The four-week coaching session includes facilitated conference calls and email check-ins, and it starts November 29th.
Mm-hmm. I just love, Michael, before you go on, I just love that some of the examples that Rebecca gave. You know, we don't have to volunteer to run somebody's political campaign or raise all the money that they need to get into office. I mean, write a letter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to a meeting. Go to it's your school board or whatever it is, and you actually go and participate. It's good. No act is too small. It's the participation, as you pointed out. I think somebody, you, one of those people, pointed out mm-hmm. that it's the participation that's the whole deal.
Yes. Yes. And celebrate courage, generosity, and family as part of the Africa Project, and sign up for one of our fabulous fundraising teams this year. You'll also want to mark your calendars to join the 2018 Bridge Walk in Cantalumba via live stream on December 1st.
Mm-hmm. Very excited. I get to go get my shots on Thursday.
Oh,
so that's you know, that's when you know it's real.
Yes. Yes. And finally, coming up in December, Sangha will have an opportunity to celebrate this year and welcome a new one with a community of people dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness. The New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st, in Menlo Park, California, features meditation, group discussions, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of next year, yes, it is gorgeous. Speaking of next year, the 2019 schedule is now posted. So check it out.
Really?
And mark your calendars.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow. How about that?
Pretty exciting, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic in about 5 minutes is great. Okay, ready,
right,
Sherry?
Here we go, huh? Yeah.
Here we go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello,
hello
there.
Oh, hi. I always listen through the computer, and now I also was listening through the phone so I could be in the queue. This is Paula in Charleston. Hey, Paula.
Hey, Paula.
Hey. I just, how are you?
I'm really well, and it sounds like Michael's on the mend. How about you?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
I think we have problems, Houston, because we hear you really clearly.
Sherry, I can hear you. To me, you're breaking up a little bit. Why don't you keep talking, because you were crystal clear before.
Yeah. What is up with that, I wonder?
Oh,
yep,
my gosh.
I can hear
the
you
joys
now.
Of, yeah. Huh. Okay.
I can hear you now, Sherry. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I was just reflecting on the good news updates and just wanting to call in, especially because it is this, it is voting day and it feels really...
Polls are closed where you are.
Yes. And I voted, I was able to vote early, so that was exciting. There's lots of advantages to getting... There's some great advantages to getting older, and that's one of them. But I was really looking at a friend contacted me and said, you know, regardless of the election outcomes, she says our friendships and love cannot be diminished, only strengthened, and that my heart is with your heart tonight. And I just felt like that just fits so well with the good news update, that we really, friendships, it's so true that in loving friendships and relationships, we respect one another, and we're allowed to share what each of us wants and for our community or for our country without fear of repercussions or, you know, losing the friendship or something awful happened. I've just seen so much of that over the past, year or two. But a lot of that among folks that really feel offended by what's going on in the world and offended with people who have different thoughts about things than they do. So,
yeah, and it seems like, I don't know that this is true, but it seems like it's kind of an everywhere. We really have stepped away from whatever that was that kept us being kind or polite or that sort of thing. Of course, I grew up with you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about sex, and you don't talk about money, and you don't talk about religion, and, you know, there's this little list of things that, you just don't bring those up because, you know, you're just going to get information that's going to make you unhappy, and so just don't bring them up. But now, with the society being so, in quotes, open, meaning everybody can say everything to anybody and everybody all the time, we've lost that restraint element.
Exactly so, and that's I think you nailed what I was trying to get to. Is that it isn't what I want, the kind of country I want to live in, the kind of community I want to be a part of, and the way I want to be in the world. Is very different than what I'm seeing in the world, seeing a lot of in the world. And but what I'm finding is that, I know this is a little convoluted, but I'm thinking about the year-long retreat that we've been doing and looking at relationships. And one of the questions was, what are you risking or not willing to risk, or
not,
something like
no
that.
No longer risking. Uh-huh.
Yes, and I thought, you know what? I find like I really feel that something about this process has actually helped me to be more willing to risk from the heart saying what is true for me, and rather than being afraid that I'm going to upset someone, so I don't want to say it. But it's like, okay, if I really am centered in my heart, I can just, and it's not personal, and it's not about the other person, I can just simply share, you know, that this is the way I see it.
Yeah, this is the way you see it. And what I saw as you were saying that was one of the things that has struck me so much when I hear people talking about this, That what part of what we seem to have lost, and apologies to everybody, you know, living in other countries that were even more self-absorbed than usual on this day, that what we've lost is that we're all Americans.
Yes.
And I go to that, I think it's Voltaire who said, I disagree with you, but I will fight to the death to protect your point of view, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
and to me, that's it. You know, we're all in this country together. And if we don't fight for one another's right to see things as we see it and hold the opinions that we have and vote for what we believe in, and I mean, it has to be all of us upholding that for one another, or we don't have anything, it seems to me. We don't really have a country because we can't, I mean, red and blue, okay, swell. But, you know, what are we going to do? Relocate everybody? Do what was done with Israel? You know, we'll say
yeah.
One half of the country is red and the other half of the country is blue. Or thirds, if you're not sure and you want to be flexible, we'll divide the middle down. You know, it's crazy. So we are here together, and I hope we all want to stay here together and learn to really care about love one another, that we
yeah.
are human beings, not for our opinions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's just...
And
so
then,
true.
Paula... Then we'll take it out to the rest of the world, right? Which would also be kind of wonderful, right? If we wanted everybody to be in their country and have their way of doing things and work out with themselves the same way we are and all respect one another.
Mm-hmm.
It just mm-hmm. seems like a good direction, doesn't it? Respect.
It certainly does, and that seems like it really calls for, you know, a level of willingness that I can say I don't remember having, you know, being, I don't know, prepared for it or realizing how much willingness
right.
it was going to take.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But yet in
yeah.
my heart, I know I'm willing. I will, because
yeah.
that's what I want. I want it so much. And that I'm much more willing than I've ever been before.
Yeah.
So
well,
yeah.
And part of that seems to me that we're just realizing how high the stakes are. You know, we've never
yeah.
had to face this before. So as with anything that's new that we have to face, then we got to learn to practice with it. We've got to learn to be with it, and to let it inform us and help us to grow and help us to move to a place where we still choose what we choose, right? So
yeah.
as anybody who's known me for 15 seconds knows, mine is unconditional love. So, you know,
yeah.
even if I'm confronted with people that I just think I just disagree with so much I can hardly stand myself, I'm still required to choose unconditional love and figure out how to get there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of an exciting challenge.
It is.
Because
it really is.
To that practice of, you know, can I really walk the talk?
Yeah, yes,
and,
yes.
And I
am willing to, whatever it takes. So. Here
yes,
we go.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right.
Thank you so much for your
Thank
time.
Thank you, Paula.
And for all the Sangha that's doing things to help us along this path and in the direction
yeah.
that we all want to go. So
exactly.
Have a great evening.
All right. Thank you, Paula. You too.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Paula. Very timely, important conversation, Sherry. Very valuable.
Mm. Yeah, it's just so up everywhere, isn't it? And I just hope whatever happens tonight and going forward, that we can all yeah, that we can all continue to make the choices that allow us to stay together as a country.
Yes, yes. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga, also from Charleston.
Wow, yeah. Neighbors.
Yeah.
How are you?
And then, yeah. I'm good. Yep.
What are you seeing?
I just thought, pardon me?
What are you seeing?
Oh, as an aside, your conversation with Paula, you know, I've had so many times that thought I would love to hear a conversation with you and Donald Trump. I would love to see how that pans out. I think that would be incredibly inspiring to me. Anyway,
I would wonder if it would be possible to get a word in edgewise, but
yeah,
I don't know.
He
would just have to do his best, huh?
Yeah. It was just, I've just been thinking about that. I would love to see that. What am I going to, boy, there's so many things I would love to share, but let's see.
Yeah, we've got the how in the morning. We've got, are you in the email class?
Oh, yeah. I love the
email
class.
So we got the email class. We're all over the place, aren't we?
So maybe I'll share something that happened recently. That was really an amazing process for me. I was in a relationship with a man where I felt more often than not, I wasn't heard. What was heard wasn't what I had said. I created an enormous amount of frustration, I oftentimes reacted then with anger. And recently I came across a very similar situation with a relative of mine, and where I just felt like whatever I said, I felt like I was talking to a wall, and I got so frustrated and I got angry. And then I really had a good look at what is really going on when that happened. And what I realized was that there was underneath an enormous amount of despair that felt like the child not being able to say what it needs to say and feeling not heard at all. And that is a very, I know that is what happened when I grew up. I mean, there was no communication in my family at all, other than, sometimes a lot of screaming. And so I just felt such deep despair about that. And then, I looked at that a little more, and what I realized was that really, the amount of emotion that I have around that issue that came up with my boyfriend and then with my relative was really the despair of me where I feel like that is a process that goes on inside of me where I feel like ego just lets me, leads me around wherever it wants to and doesn't listen to what I want and has dragged me around so many times, in a direction that I didn't want to go. There is this part of me that is screaming and is so desperate, to be heard. But it's really this, it really became this realization, you know, that the emotion that's behind all that is really because of what's going on inside of myself.
Wow.
And when I got that, I mean, I really got that.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt so much gratitude to these people that have allowed me to see what is really going on inside of me.
Uh-huh.
And it was such a huge shift for me, you know, to understand, you know, what a gift they have given me. It took me a long time to get there. But, you know, it was just so amazing to me, because today I walked around and I've never really felt that. I just was walking around doing my thing and feeling like, you know, whoever I'm meeting today is giving me an opportunity to see something.
Mm.
When I take the opportunity, you know,
when you take advantage.
When I take advantage of that, when I understand that.
Yep.
And it was such a wonderful freeing experience, because I really felt like it doesn't matter, you know, who shows up in my life. I don't have to choose that. Like whatever, you know, whatever comes, it's like an opportunity for me to see something.
Well,
and I can't.
Yeah, and looking back, you realize that you would not have chosen those situations with the boyfriend, with the relative, right? You would have chosen that they would, you know, if you were going with conditioning, you would have said, I want to be understood. I want to be heard. I don't want this. This
right.
is not how I want it to be. And
right.
yet, those were the very situations in your life that helped you get to this beyond. It's not just one big breakthrough, right? I mean, you saw so many huge things in that one lesson, right? So, it doesn't matter who shows up, because if I'm looking at it through the lens that you're looking through, then it's all for me. Whatever,
right.
whether I like it or don't like it, is really irrelevant. If I'm paying attention, I'm going to see something really important for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
It was so astonishing. You know, especially it's like when I was walking around today, you know, where I just felt more open.
Free.
Yeah, I felt open and grateful, you know, grateful
yeah.
for whatever was going to show up. And,
yes.
That's pretty much all I can say about it. I mean, it was just an amazing experience, you know, especially when I realized it's like, maybe these people are not listening. There's a good possibility, you know, I mean, I don't listen always either. And mm-hmm. I've noticed more and more, you know, it's like the more I do all this work with you, it's like I realize how difficult communication is,
mm-hmm.
you know, how often I feel like, you know, people don't listen or they hear something that I didn't say and vice versa. So, I mean, I'm much more aware of the whole thing. But the emotional upset that I had around that had nothing to do with them. You know?
Right. Well, that's just so, so big to realize that what was being acted out in your life with other people was what was going on inside you. To get
right.
that what's being acted out in my life is a mix of what's going on inside me. So it's really hard to see it inside us. But if we look at what's going on in our lives, we can get a sense of what that is that we can't see.
That we're being what?
That we'll get a chance to see outside what we can't see inside. It's like going to
right.
a movie where
right.
you feel like, oh my gosh, they are telling my life story. There it is. It's all right there on the screen. And we recognize something inside ourselves from seeing it acted out there. And that all of our lives are that way. They're acting out. We're acting out through karma, the karma that is acting us out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the way you laid it out. I mean, there's your relationship with this with this man, and what you got to see is, oh, we're doing outside here with, you know, in what we would call the outer world, what's an exact mirror of what's going on inside me. You
right.
could have never seen it inside you if you didn't
right.
see it played out with him.
Right.
And I think,
yeah.
of course, that that's what we're doing all the time. I think that's what all relationships are.
Yeah.
That's why I say, you know, if you can just, if you can be all right, just knowing that we're all using one another to grow.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. And then we don't have to worry about who's right and who's wrong and was that okay? Was that not? It's a workshop.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
woo!
You know, that reminds me. You had that. You used that quote a number of times by Ram Dass about you know, we're here to help each other come home or something like that.
Uh huh.
Go home. You know, and I don't know. I never really thought about it in that way, but that's really. I think that, you know, like what you just said. You know, it's like that we are all really mirrors for each other, and when we
yeah.
take the you know, when we take advantage of it, when you know, when we have the awareness of that.
Mm-hmm.
It is such an incredible gift that we
yeah.
are to each other, you know, and yeah, I don't know. I've never really quite seen it that way.
And sometimes
when things are so painful.
That's right. Sometimes
you know,
the most painful are the most helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That's a wonderful thing.
It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for practice.
And not only it was, it is, and it will
yeah.
continue to be, because
yes.
you are forever changed by that awareness, by that insight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. Sure, that conversation reminded me of that quote that we practice with each other and on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminded me how important it is to be compassionate with all of us.
Yes. That. Yes. Yeah. And not to just let ego take us to that conclusion that if it's difficult or painful, there must be something wrong. No.
Yeah.
We're just in a process of seeing a lot here.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm well. I really appreciate all the conversation about the election and everything. And yeah, I just really wanted to kind of up the support for the human. I do feel like I'm well, and there's been just a lot. There's just been a lot going on. Yeah, I'm not sure if I can articulate this, but I've been looking at this thing. So I had kind of a recent manifestation of it, but I was seeing that it's been this pattern over a period of time where I had a thing happen where I felt very betrayed, and I've been in a lot of anger and resentment, and I was looking at that because the story was sort of like, you know, what's going on with me? You know, I used to be this, you know, kind, loving person, and now I'm just like angry and resentful all the time. With, you know, that was sort of what I was getting told. But there was this sense of like not feeling all the time, right? Of
all
course,
the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even
but
when you're
you
asleep.
Know what? All the time, exactly, yeah. But I was just curious of, like, it does feel like there's been this pattern where, you know, and I'm very fortunate that I got to do the Strong Emotions Retreat twice this year, so I've been, you know, had some great chances to be looking at that, and I'm sure that's a big part of the process. But so I was seeing this thing that that it actually feels like it's really, I don't know, helpful that, I don't know if this is true or whatever, but because it does feel like there's been a lot more anger and resentment than I had ever experienced. And one of the things that I was watching was like, well, this doesn't feel like me, you know, I'm not like that. And I was like, ooh, you know, that's interesting. Like, what's the me that's not allowed to whatever. And so it feels like there's actually this place of being like allowed actually to get to a place of, you know, not that I need to or wish to, you know, go around being angry with people or you know, whatever, or being resentful, but like kind of getting to a point. And I think the bigger point is getting to a point, maybe these external situations have been mirrors, but getting to a point actually with ego where like I'm not willing to take the stuff. I think for, you know, a really long time, my part of the karma of this being has been, I'll just kind of take a bunch of stuff because, you know, I'm really polite and nice and that's how I am or something. And just kind of hitting this point of like, I don't want to take this anymore. Like, you can't, it's not okay for you to treat me this way. And I haven't really.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, and it showed up, and it's been really weird, and I felt like so awful and uncomfortable because I've been like, you know, in these places of this awful, like, you know, resenting and mad and, you know, but for a long time, I think the self-hate was, it was always just turned on this person, right? Not that I'm
yeah.
saying like, oh, good, now I can turn it on other people. I mean, that's not it. It's just, it's like something's shifting, I guess. And it just seems helpful to look at it in that way. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would say helpful and healthy. So, right? So we go along and we get the identity, whatever the identity is, and then you have to live that out. So with yours, you know, you're nice and you're polite and you're whatever. And the assumption is that means you need to behave in a particular way regardless of what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. Rather than you are that person, and okay, it doesn't mean that you need to repress, depress, suppress, whatever it is, everything that happens in life that causes you to feel anything other than nice and polite. So for a long time, of course, all folks had was. Well, they a lot of things that folks had, but, you know, you get a stick and pound on a pillow or roll the windows up in your car and scream until you lose your voice or that sort of thing. We have something way better now, and it's called a recording device. And so what we can do now is a two-handed recording. And that recorder just doesn't hold anything against us no matter what. So we can scream and cry and cuss and threaten and whatever it is that's going on, all that stuff, all that emotion that's in there has a place where it can finally come out, be seen, be heard, be recognized, and there. Okay, so you can feel everything that you feel. And in the same way, you don't have to just be nice and polite and stuff everything. You also don't need to have all of this emotion and go out and start attacking people, right? Because that's bad karma, you know. It just really is. If you could do it and get away with it, you know, that would be one thing. But you can't, because people take it hard when we do that to them. And so there, all the emotion, it gets out, and you're heard, and you're understood, and all of that. And then you get to a place of, so now, how would I like to address this? And that's the piece that we didn't get to do when we were coming up through the education of ego.
Yes, that we might get to a place of, you know, compassionate speech opportunity, that maybe there is something to say in the kind of external situation too. But it's like, after
say it from a way, in a way that doesn't cause you to suffer, and doesn't cause you to suffer, because we don't have any control over what happens with anybody else, right? But you will say what is true and so for you, and learn to say that, express that in a way that you then don't get beaten up for by voices of self-hate, and you don't get talked into you're a bad person, you should never do that again, but really from a place of clarity, this is what I need to express. This is what I want to express.
Yeah, it's really it's really exciting to consider, because I think the pattern in this person for a long time has just been that stuffing. You know, I feel terrible, but you know, I don't go to their recorder, even, you know, I'm pre-recorder, and I definitely, you know, I don't get to it. Well, the expression, if you will, is just all the internal, you know, that it's so awful, just the, you know, replays and the how awful this was and how it makes me feel, but I can't do anything with it and whatever, all of that. And just seeing, it's really helpful to be able to shift something about that pattern. So, so much compassion too. I mean, with the politics, right, you know, just seeing like on my, you know, my little small one person drama level of, you know, like this recent thing, I mean, seeing the level of just of hatred that came up in me, you know, just hatred at this person and how could they do this to me, and, you know, and getting to that place of like, right, this is how we can all go to these places that are happening,
how we go to,
you know,
war.
All over. It's right. Yep, exactly. And that I want to, yes, and I want to have a different way to be with that than either, right, that I, you know, am going to war outside or inside. I mean, I don't,
right.
So grateful for
So some things with it.
Chance to look at it.
Some things with it, not only the, you know, talking with the recorder, but learning to be with, I don't know what that noise is, but anyway, I hope it's okay.
I don't hear anything. Okay, I don't, it's not on my end. I don't hear it.
Excellent. Oh, very good.
I don't know.
So when there's all that energy, you know, you can talk and scream and yell and rant and rave and do that. It can also be helpful to take up running or start boxing or whatever. It's a very physical way to be with that energy as you learn to let it move through your body, because there's going to be a lot of energy, you know, a lifetime of being a really nice person and suddenly getting in touch with, not all the time, no thank you, I don't want to just stuff emotion for the rest of my life. There's going to be a lot there. And so learning how to be with that in a way that takes care of you, so that you get to, you know, you get to have the energy and use it and enjoy it. Dance is the one I always come up with, you know, and let the energy just be energy rather than letting it always get turned into being angry and resentful and upset and that sort of thing. Because you're just going to have a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, I watched all last week. Of course, you know, I got completely talked out of doing any of the, I actually do this dance class 3 or 4 times a week that's transformative. It's so helpful. And of course, I didn't go to it the entire last week.
That's right.
You know,
that's
conditioning
right.
Just talked me out of it. And I was just simmering and ready to, you know, lose it on anyone that looked at me funny. You know, I mean, yeah, just seeing like that's so unhelpful. So, yeah, that's such a great point to make sure. And on the days that I don't have the dance class, that there's other options. And yes.
Yeah. And to do that regardless, right,
yeah.
as you do it, to just do it as a regular part of your life. And consciously know that this is letting that energy move around. That's what I'm doing here. We're letting it move around.
Yeah.
Way more fun, huh?
Way more fun. Exactly. Yeah, I did. I
and
dragged myself there yesterday to that, and it was like, right. Yeah, it was,
you get
it was
to
so
be
helpful.
You.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You
like,
get to
it's
be
like
you.
Like meeting a whole new person.
Right. I get to see what the person is authentically like without the you've got to be nice and polite and stuff it, you know, thing. Like what's actually there. That's what we mean with that kind of
passion.
You get to be you.
We'll call it
We'll
call it passion. She's a very passionate person.
Yeah, that's so fun because that was one of the things that felt, and then I know it will go to just that I, you know, that's one of the things that I felt in this time of being in this anger and resentment and feeling kind of confused and lost about that. Like it felt like I've lost passion, like because there have been a lot of places where, you know, I've been really passionate and exciting about different things, and that's like I feel like a lot of that. Has been lost probably because, there's no room for expression of it in any of those forms of somehow the feelings get repressed. I can't quite say that, but yes, I get a sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's really, really
all
helpful.
That passion
yeah.
gets used by ego to repress and control you.
All right.
Have
Thank
fun,
you so,
huh?
so, so much. Yeah. Practice is
You are
so
welcome.
Amazing. Thank you.
All right. Take
care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. And another great conversation, Sherry. And we have time for at least one more caller, I think.
Good.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Todd calling from Canada.
Hey, Todd.
Hello, Todd.
Hello. No elections here.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And,
uh-huh.
yeah, we just recently elected our civic representatives, which is very fun, our city council, our mayor, and our school trustees, and I got involved with that. That was really exciting to participate in something very local in the community.
Uh-huh.
It's all about the participation. Uh-huh. But I'm watching closely your elections because being your neighbor up the north, quite a bit what you do down south affects us up here. So.
Yes, because we're either relatively good neighbors or kind of difficult neighbors, sometimes more really difficult neighbors. So
and globally too. Just my.
We're all in it together.
Exactly, we're all in it together, and we're. I really am appreciating and enjoying the death and dying email class.
Uh-huh.
It's a showstopper for me. I have never looked at that issue with any bit of conscious compassion awareness. It was something that certainly close ones have died. I've lost my parents and loved ones. So I had experience of losing loved ones, but my own mortality was never really looked at until now. And it's a huge place of I don't know exactly how to say it. It can be a huge place of suffering hidden in plain sight with for starters, just taking things for granted. was the areas mm-hmm. I kept seeing when I was doing the assignments. Like, wow, taking this life for granted. Mm-hmm. What a huge bamboozle.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, that that we're conditioned to live in fear of everything.
Yes.
Because something could happen to me.
Yeah.
At the same time, we live as if we're going to live forever.
Right.
It's completely schizophrenic. Would that be a good way to describe it?
I love it. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, and even though people will talk about both sides of those,
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't land. And I think that the reason is, I don't know this, but I speculate, that it's because we've always lived.
Yes. I have no experience
Yeah. That's right. I've been alive forever.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no experience other than this. So it's trying to get it that what has happened to everybody else who's gone before is going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when.
No.
And I don't know what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
And to look at that, to bring all of that, as you say, into conscious awareness,
right.
Without it triggering the other side. I don't want to look at that. That's too terrifying. Mm-hmm. Oh my God! What if it's awful? What if it's painful? What if? No, I don't want to think about that. And then we go back to just not really living because I've got years. Come on.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to live forever.
Yeah. Oh, that is beautifully stated. Yeah. The most recent assignment came out. I was doing it this morning. It was at I hope I'm not giving anything away, but we were asked.
Well, I know what number three is. So you can just be euphemistic if you want to.
Okay. Well, we got to write our eulogy, but what I loved about it is I wrote it projecting on my family and friends at my service.
Uh-huh.
And it was so much fun. So I put someone like my sister, for example, and I wrote this eulogy that I projected she would write. And I just had, you know, first when I got the assignment, sickening dread, which was I was identified. I'm like, oh, my God, no way. I'm not doing this. And then an hour later, I disidentified and I sat down. And I started writing it. And it went from sickening dread to fun and delight and fascination.
That's a really fun idea. So you just write what everybody in your life
yes.
is going to say about you.
Exactly.
Ooh.
It was fun. Ooh. And so I put my sister, Paula, my sister, and I wrote what she'd write. And then my best friend, Gwen, and I wrote what she would write. And I just had so much fun projecting and then owning it. Because I'm like, well, I got to own these projections because they're not here saying it. And, and I have no idea what they'd say. I've never asked them what they'd say at my service. I was just marveling at just how the exercise just brought so much and to see, you know, I'm near my sixth decade, so I've been around a bit. I've done a few things. Done a lot of traveling, I've done a lot of different jobs, I've had a lot of relationships, I've lived in a lot of different places, I've been doing Zen awareness practice for a while. And it was just amazing to see that, well, I've lived a pretty full life, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, since you're reading along with the class, I'm guessing.
Yes.
I've started talking about this thing that I don't know that, I mean, I don't know what I talk about, you know. I don't have any idea because I don't hear me. I don't think I've ever been on this squishy word kick. And in this class, squishy words have taken on new importance for me.
Yeah.
And squishy words are words like full.
Yes.
And enough.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, I want to live a full life.
Yes.
Which sounds great.
And
right?
Purposeful.
Until you
even went on purposeful. Yeah.
Purposeful, right.
Yes.
And we're meant to assume that we know what that means. I'll know when I've lived a full life, and then I'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
Right? But
I don't have a definition of that. And so it's just squishy. When I've done enough, who's going to tell me when I've done enough? I don't know what enough means. And so we're put in this really precarious place with ego where it is pretending to define these things for us, or it will define them for us.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we're just left never being satisfied, never having a chance to feel complete with anything or to take it in or to do what you obviously did, not going all squishy on us, to look at, well, actually, I've already had full life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no reason to think it's going to get less full going forward.
Right.
So instead of living in a story about how my life should be or could be or, the life I should have had or whatever, actually, I'm enjoying the life I've had. I'm enjoying the life I have. Mm-hmm. And I have no reason to think I won't enjoy the life I'm going to have.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's all just so revealing. And yeah, to take a subject like death and dying, when that was first announced, Sherry, I got to be honest with you, it was touch and go. It was almost 99% no, 1% maybe I'll sign up. And then when I signed up,
maybe.
Yeah, and really talking about the inaccurate polling on that one. Now that I'm doing it, I'm like, this is a class I would never ever want to miss for the life of me. It has been just
and who would think that it would also have fun associated with it, right?
Fun.
Is it revelatory, but it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. We're going to popularize death and dying before it's over.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Always deep gratitude for Sangha and for yourself and Michael and everyone that's behind the scenes and the monks at the monastery. Deep gassho.
And gassho to you too, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Mike.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. And what a fabulous show, Sherry. Incredible. Fun with death and dying. Great.
Fun with death and dying. You know, that is, I know we got to go, but that, I love that about awareness. It's awareness practice. So there is absolutely no subject that's going to be outside it. We can bring everything into awareness practice and just not leave any little corner of our life left out kind of in the dark, not brought into the embrace of presence.
That's yes, and as I started to read the responses in the class, I realized, it's just another piece of content. I either suffer over it or I get free of it. So, exactly.
Yeah, it really is, and we can enjoy looking at it because the seeing is what's fun.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Michael. Again, I'm so glad that you're feeling so much better And I, too, appreciate your presence and all you do. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Sangha. Oh. Thank you, everyone. And take care.
Everybody take care. Good. All right. Okay. Good night.
Good night.